All right, the meeting for the Library Commission for February 10th, 2014 will come to order at 6:32. I'd like to invite our student commissioner to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please rise.
Place your right hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you and welcome. May I have an approval for the agenda?
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
And the meeting minutes of the October 21st meeting were included in our packages. May I have approval?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Let's move on to announcements and introductions. Britton, we're going to start at your side of the world.
It's nice to be here, but I have no announcements or introductions, so thank you.
Thank you, commissioners. Britton? I mean, Ashley, wrong side of the other side.
No, not there.
Commissioners?
Nope.
Commissioner?
Just to wish everybody a happy and healthy new year.
Thank you.
President.
And the president would like to mention that Commissioner Pangarliotis was honored at the recent State of the Union address for the city and received a beautiful award for all of her hard work and dedication that she does for this city.
Thank you.
I was very proud to be there and cheer her on. All right, moving along. Public comments at this time? No? All right, then.
Did somebody have a card in it or no?
But it's on an agenda.
It's on the agendized item, so we'll take it later on. All right, let's go on to new business. We're going to rip through this real nicely. First off, we have the downloadable ebooks demonstration. Carolyn?
Hello, everyone. So, in up there on the screen.
It's on here.
Yeah.
It's up here, too. On your monitors?
On our monitors, thank you.
Yes.
So, we have the Calabasas Library now has ebooks. So, this is all very exciting. We have two vendors. One is the 3M Cloud Library. I'm just going to do a quick demonstration, but as with the patrons, I'm more than happy to help anyone who wants help with their own personal device or anything like that. The two vendors that we have, 3M Cloud Library and OneClick Digital. We had OneClick Digital audiobooks to listen to, and we pick these. They both have kind of different different things that work for our library. 3M Cloud Library has a lot of the things that the school district wanted, and they have popular fiction biography. OneClick Digital has a lot of nonfiction, extensive business materials, computer careers, test prep, a lot of those kind of things. They have all the classics, and also they have some of the school district things that 3M doesn't, so they kind of complement each other. Okay? So I'll just show you quickly through here. This is the web page that they're all on. If you go to the library page and then scroll down a little bit on the left-hand side, it's downloadable ebooks, audiobooks, and magazines. And I'll speak about the magazines a little bit later. But they all are app-based, whether you use the computer, device, phone, whatever you have, they all have apps. And so when you go to our page and you go to the downloadable ebooks, audiobooks, and magazines, click on the 3M, and on the left-hand side, you pick the app that you need for your device. So say if you had an iPad, it would be the iOS. If you had a Samsung tablet, it would be the Android, etc. The Kindle Fire at the bottom, At this time, the vendors are only dealing with Kindle Fire. So the older Kindles and the paper whites and some of the things like that are not compatible. It's just Kindle Fire. And all the vendors, regardless of who they are, that's what they're doing. Okay. Once you have the app, you can log in to our app. You want to, you're going to log into our library's materials. So obviously we pick the US, we live in California, and then up comes a list of libraries, and we're Calabasas Library, third from the top there. Okay. Now, 3M is integrated with Polaris, so they use the library card number and their library password, just as the same as their account in the catalog, which is the last four digits of your phone number that are on file with the library. So I have a kind of a digital demo. It's only as quick as your Wi-Fi. Everyone has to remember that. So up comes our page. And we have shelves. The first one is classics. We have some fiction. It's the popular, kind of popular adult fiction, biography, nonfiction, young adult, juvenile. But as you scroll down, and we will be adding many more shelves as we work with the school district, there's the grades 4 and 5 core literature, the 6 through 8 core literature, and the high school common core. And all those books are on the school district list. Okay. And you can, it's very easy to check out. You just pick one. Interesting, check out. And it's going to download. It'll take a second. I can check it back in.
That's okay.
And it's ready to read. There you go. Okay. Also, they check out for 3 weeks, just like a physical book. It is one user, just like a physical book in the library, one at a time. But if no one has hold on it, you can check it out again. And you, if you're done with it early, you can check it back in. So it's kind of nice. The other thing that's not, there it goes,
yeah.
Is that what's kind of nice, especially for the students, is that it is 3M product, so they have post-it notes. And they can make notes as they're going through their required reading. They can make some notes and refer back. I know on my tablet I can screen cap this email to myself, you know, if the student wants to you know, save it and refer back to it. Yeah, so that you can type in whatever you need and save it. Okay, so that's kind of an added feature for especially students. Okay. Yeah, I think so. So that kind of shows you the 3M. That was just a quick one. The one-click digital, the page, sorry. I use a different kind of device, which is why I have some help here tonight, which I really appreciate. So here's the one-click digital audiobooks. Like I said, down here we have the audiobooks. Those are to listen to, iPod, MP3 player, that kind of thing. We have the e-books with them. And they do need they need apps as well. So you click here onto the one-click digital to get the app that you want for your device. And they are the same way too, the Kindle Fire. Okay. So here is that app.
actually really cool. It's very cool. It's very impressive. It's fun to do. Yeah.
Oops. Uh-oh. No, that's the you know, there is human error on these sometimes, you know.
Technical difficulty.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Let me make sure my... Ah, okay.
Go back.
No, yeah. Okay. One thing I should mention about the one-click digital, at this time they are not integrated with Polaris. They are working on that. That's something that they want to do.
So it's actually more than one click.
Excuse me?
Now, if I had the book in my hands, I'd be on chapter two.
Exactly. It has to go all the way across the plaza here, you know.
Travel, time travel.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. Let me show you on the... Sorry, the...
What do you want to look at?
Online again?
Yes. That.
And go, I'm going to go city council.
Home. There it goes. Okay. Just to kind of show, I just wanted to kind of show you what OneClick Digital has while we were waiting for the Wi-Fi there. As you can see, the little headphones are the, but if you scroll down a little bit, we have there's the business. Some of the technical, the computer things. The thing that Barbara and I always have trouble with in buying computer, it's hard to keep up. If they publish it in a book, it's like a year old. By the time it gets through the publisher, with an e-book, it goes a little quicker. So this is nice for the computer people who want to check those things out. And as you can see, there's the Common Sense by Thomas Paine. That's a school district one. So there are school district things in here as well. Okay, so we'll
go ahead. Sorry.
Do you have any questions?
Yeah, if you have any questions, you can interrupt me.
So what kind of numbers are we doing with the e-books since it's started?
Well, it's been barely a month, so steady, you know, new users every day, that kind of thing. I'll probably have a better idea, maybe the next library commission on what, you know, because we haven't really... you know, this is our big kind of grand opening. It was sort of a soft opening last month. So, you know, after this, we're going to be doing more publicity, some marketing, and that kind mm-hmm. of thing.
And, so, and okay. plus, they're working with the school district to market it also, mm-hmm. because a lot of this is directed at the curriculum for the school district.
But if we can only check it, so Carolyn said that it's one book per mm-hmm. person per time.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. So if it's assigned reading with the school district for a whole class...
We buy more than one version. We yes. buy more than one copy.
So you'd have to buy 35 copies, 40 copies of the... Okay.
Well, at this point, I've ordered... It depended on how many lists it came up for the school district. I bought more than one copy just to get this going. Like I said, it's only been a month. Mm-hmm. So we'll be looking at that. And as the demand... We'll buy more. So, yeah.
Does the book delete itself after so many usages?
Microphone,
please.
No, does the book delete itself after so many usages on our screen?
Are you talking for the patron or the from the publisher?
From the publisher.
There are some publishers. HarperCollins is one that after I believe with them it's 28. then we have to buy, we have to evaluate it and buy a new copy. If it's a new book and, you know, we may decide not to. If it's a required reading, of course, we're going to buy more. I did try with the required readings to buy things from not those publishers,
yeah.
From publishers that kind of, and a lot of the required reading are classics and things that don't really have those kind of limits on them anyway. Mm-hmm. So,
good.
Okay. Just quickly, the last thing I wanted to show you.
While you're doing that, you said that you're going to be monitoring it to see how many copies we need. Or are you going to be able to tell if somebody was looking to get the book and it was already checked out? And
yeah, there's a couple of things. There's hold lists. You can put things on hold. And there's also a wish list, which I've activated. So somebody could go in and say, you know, either we need another copy of this, or you don't own this, but I know that 3M carries it. You know, could you buy it? Just like we do with the physical books. Okay. Patrons come in all the time and, you know, do you think you could buy this? And, you know, Barbara and I look at kind of the demand for it and go from there. So yeah, there's options on here for them to be able to do that. The other thing is the Zinio magazines. They're magazines that a lot, the school district wanted some science magazines. They had some specific needs, but we also got some things that our patrons would like. We got some business things and cooking and a sport. And that you can also do from an app on your tablet or device. And what's kind of nice is, we're probably running out of time, but just to let you know, the National Geographic Interactive, if the magazine says interactive on there, it has moving parts, videos, other links to other things, that kind of thing. So that's kind of like an added feature. We pick some things that aren't available in print, so we don't have them in the library. With all of these, we try to kind of be well-rounded about it, but then also make sure the school district was, you know, extremely represented.
One more question for me. Magazines, still one person, one...
No, actually, I'm glad you asked that. The magazines are multiple users, and you can keep it as long as you like.
Really?
Yeah.
So you could make a pile in a corner of virtual magazines?
Yes. I have...
virtual nightstand.
Yeah. Zinio magazine is in other libraries, and I happen to have an account in another library before we got this. Yeah, and in my app, all my magazines are together from both libraries, and I have a magazine saved from June just because I wanted to save it on my device. So that's kind of the nice thing about magazines, you know. And plus, like I said, the educational purposes as well.
Thank you. So. Commissioners, any other questions? All right, then. Thank you.
Okay.
For our virtual tour. I'd like to move on now to new business point two, discussion regarding the naming of the senior reading room.
Okay.
Is Ms. Robin?
Yes. This is on the agenda, not because we're looking for anyone's name up there, but that in keeping in what we've done, where the children's library has the sign that says children's library above the entrance. We have the young adult area. We have the quiet reading room. We thought that we would want to put something above there that denotes that this is the senior area that we've created, which is dedicated, and all the collection in there is dedicated toward and primed toward seniors. That's why this item is on here tonight. We just thought, well, we're not going to put senior lounge. Let's see what the commission has to say.
Have there been any suggestions from any of the seniors in this process?
That being
yes,
said, I haven't received any.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. None have come Karen. To my attention.
I have two speaker cards. One is from Alan Horwitz and the other from Charlotte Meyer on the senior reading room. If you would like to come up and share your thoughts on this topic?
Yes, I'm thrilled to be here. I was away from the library a few months because of travel, and I came by there, and I couldn't believe to see there was a senior center. My name is Alan. I'm a bookaholic and a bibliophile, and I couldn't believe it. I thought, well, maybe I have to be a senior in high school to use that. I collect library cards. Wherever you go in the state, show your driver's license, and you can get a library card. And I tour libraries when I travel. And this is the only library I've ever seen in the world that has a senior center dedicated for seniors. I was thrilled by the lighting in there. The lighting is totally amazing. You go in there, and it's like daylight. And for seniors who live in apartments, for seniors who maybe get lonely when the sun goes down, it's a wonderful place to congregate. And what's really thrilling about it is the way it's integrated in the library. Seniors aren't put off in a senior center. They're able to be part of the general population of the city. I was very saddened when I thought Barnes & Noble was going to close. Well, we have a backup plan. We have a library and a place where people can meet. I was thrilling that you could sit down there at a table and you can play games. You can get large print books. You don't have to use your simple reader to enlarge the type. Those books are right there in nice paper. And I didn't thought about the name of it, but we do have an organization in this community called the Savvy Seniors. And if I recall from French, savoir means to know. So I think the idea of savvy and knowledge go very well together, and perhaps that's something that could be considered. I hope this is a permanent fixture in our library. It's not just transitory, waiting for a senior center to be built. I like the idea that we can be part of the larger community. If people have children or grandchildren, they can take them to the children's center, and they can also be there part of the regular center. I think you want to ask me a question.
No, I was just going to say thank you.
I like the idea that it's versatile, where you can play games like Scrabble, which help to improve the mind and the eye and the hand coordination, or at least maintain it. And I like the idea it could be a meeting place where people may want to have a conversation with friends or family and have a place where they can meet somewhat in private. And I just think it's a thrilling use of space, and it shows the recognition in this community that the seniors are part of it, and we're an important part of the community. I could say a lot more, but I want to thank the librarian for her presentation. I think the idea of using e-books and audiobooks is a step into the new world, and I hope that seniors, though they have the big print books, will also be able to use the Senior Center for reading. Thank you so much.
Besides our library, what other libraries excite you?
Thousand Oaks Library, I think, is one of the amazing libraries of the world. The way it integrates they don't have a senior place, but they have a wonderful children's area with puppets. And I like the idea that the Friends of the Library have such an active part in the community. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars must come in through the library shelves. I think it's our center over there, our Friends of the Library, I think, could use a boost, should be brought more out front. We have a very affluent community. I'm sure there's a lot of books that could be donated there that would help raise revenues. It's almost hard to find it now. Where the senior center is, it's where it used to be. So I think that's important, that we use more of our resources. If you go over to the Woodland Hills Library, they have so many books donated, they donate them to other libraries for raising money. And it's a tax write-off if people donate. I don't know if they know that. We have huge sales, I have to admit that. But the day-to-day volume for a community of this affluence and size doesn't reflect, I think, the potential we have. I like the idea of the aquarium that they have over at the Thousand Oaks Library. I think it's fascinating. It'd be wonderful if we had aquarium somewhere, maybe in the children's area where they study nature. Maybe they could be drawn to it. Maybe there could be books on fishes in that area, or fish, pardon my grammar. Perhaps it is fishes. But in any event, that would be very exciting. I also think we could do something cooperatively with Barnes & Noble. I just bought the most wonderful tablet there. I'm not, okay, sorry, too much? Can't promote? Okay.
I would like to invite you and any friends that you can pull together to join the Friends of the Library, the Calabasas Library. We meet the first Wednesday of the month.
Okay.
I think your energy is fabulous, and I'd like to see you come by and join us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alan.
For the time. Thank you for letting me go over the 3 minutes.
I almost feel like I have to say this is not a paid commercial.
Oh, it was not a paid commercial, but I just...
Thank you.
Charlotte, did you wish to speak? Most of your time has been used up, but you have
I just need a second or two. I just want to make sure that everybody knows that I just met this man. And this was really spoken from the heart, and he really summed up what I was planning to say. But I did want to add a few things. First, I wanted to thank Robin Parker for the wonderful job you did. I don't think you've gotten the public recognition that you deserve. Robin did do a tremendous job of redecorating, supervising the redecoration of those two rooms that were dedicated for senior for the seniors. And also, I'd like to thank Ashley. We run a tech help program in the back. And what this program is we have seniors, like myself, who need help with their iPads and iPhones and downloading information. And we reached out to local schools, and by earning community service points or credit, the students come in, and they arrange appointments one-on-one with seniors and help them with their technology gadgets. And Ashley has taken on two seniors, and so she deserves double applause. As far as the naming goes, I just want to point out that there are two rooms. The first room is more like a reading lounge, and we kind of think of it as a quiet place. I go into that room about 3 times a week, and I wanted to see just how we're using it. And it's interesting that Alan just mentioned something about the Friends of the Library, and you are talking about it as well. A gentleman came up to me, and he thought I was a volunteer, which was true, and he asked me about the Friends of the Library, and I didn't have any information. We do have a bulletin board in the back, so I would like to invite you to put up some kind of literature about your about the Friends of the Library, because it's in the library, and when it meets and where it meets, so that if anybody wanders in, that could be something that they would look at, and they would have the information, because I didn't have the information to give to him. I did send him to the reference desk. Did he come? Yeah. Also, the back room we consider like an activity room. Mm-hmm. We have two tables, and we have donated games, and we have a computer back there, and we have a counter where there are brochures. A lot of them we've gotten from Fran Pavley's office that are senior-oriented, and there's applications from the DMV in case you want an identification card, because sometimes at some point we do all stop driving and we need an identification card. In the front, not only do we have the large print books, we also have some books that have been pulled from the stacks that relate to our programming. So that's about it, and I hope you name it, and I look forward to continuing working with the Savvy Seniors in those rooms. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlotte. Are we looking to just identify this as the senior reading room, or are we looking to open it up for
We're looking to identify it.
So we're not looking for suggestions for names.
No, we're looking to identify it. Barbara has expressed to me several times she's kind of had to scoot teenagers out, and because we do, that room is dedicated more toward the needs of the seniors. So, and she's correct, Charlotte is correct, the back is more like an activity room. It's not just the savvy seniors, though, that are eligible to go into that back room. I mean, there could be anybody who comes in and says, well, what's back here in that room? But the front part is more like a lounge. is a lounge with the lighting that we put in to make sure that people be able to see. And, you know, I handpicked the chairs with some seniors, tell me if they thought they were comfortable. And that's where the collection is. So we just wanted somewhere to designate to identify this is where this area is dedicated towards seniors and their interests. And like we have the young adult section, and then we have the children's library, we have a quiet room, we have meeting rooms. So we're looking for some suggestions. Before I plopped up there the senior lounge, I thought, you know, I'll let the commission decide what they'd like to see up there instead of me deciding.
Gee, thanks.
You're right.
Well, commissioners, do we have any? Miss Ellen.
I heard from the savvy seniors that they think it might be a good idea to call it the senior resource room since there are resources in it. I thought that was kind of bland and didn't really appear inviting. I came up with the senior corner, which sounded,
Oh, hello.
Interesting.
Just after you said senior corner.
Well, this is a good reason to have e-books.
Was it something I said?
Momentarily.
My husband and I were talking about it, and we thought it sounded that it was inviting for seniors to come in, and at the same time, it was kind of cozy, whereas lounge almost seems like there should be a cocktail waitress from the library staff serving.
We could hire someone to kind of work on that.
I'm sorry. So what's your final submission?
My final submission would be senior corner, although station and space and section were three others that we had
come up
with. I like
that. It seems like kind of a hangout for seniors.
I like the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would suggest something else from I like your idea, but to put on the sign possibly 55 plus. I helped develop a program.
No, because the senior, it's not necessarily 55 plus.
Well, then whatever age you pick. We had a senior group that I helped plan and set up, and in coming up with a name with a group of seniors, they didn't want to be, and this was a group, didn't want to be known as seniors. And then we also had to define what makes up a senior. So if you're having issues with people of a different age group coming in that you don't want, then maybe you put, not necessarily in the name, but under there, possibly this is for whatever age group you want.
It hasn't happened since.
Pardon?
It hasn't happened since Barbara shooed them out. So.
Well, also, as Alan pointed out, seniors could be thought of as seniors in high school or what have you. So it's just something to consider. If it's not a problem, then don't fix it. But if it gets to be, maybe we need to consider an additional sign. I don't think it hurts to call it senior whatever. Senior corner sounded pretty good.
I think they were only in there to use the table. They weren't using the books. They were there
to
use
the
table.
They weren't in the large prints?
Yeah, because they found another table that they could use in a room.
Yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So. Makes sense.
So are we looking at the senior corner?
Well, do we need a motion?
Yeah, I would like a motion to
think
approve that.
Think we need
that.
A motion?
I'll make a motion to name the senior reading room the senior corner.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
We now have a senior corner across the street.
Of course, if we thought of something with less letters, it costs less to make.
You could put SR
in
the corner.
Go.
And it would still be senior.
That's true.
All right. After our little momentary power outage, let's go on to the budget. Oh, it's probably because we were a little heavy on the utilities we were saving.
No, this is a civic center. This is City Hall, so you don't have to worry about it.
Okay. So we're going to do our budget review at this point.
So what I provided to you is the January BPR, which is the most recent one that we have. And then just to give you a comparison and an FYI, because we didn't have it till, I also provided you with the June 2013, which is gives actuals and the closing for that year, which was not completed until September, I believe, September, October. So, you know, we're right somewhat in line with our expenditures. And the revenue, if you look at the year end projection, we're looking to be, you know, a few $1,000s above what we're projecting. of course, be aware that since we're in the negative, we have negative interest income. And I also provided larger ones for you up there. If you have any questions about what's going on, I mean,
Yes.
I'll be more than happy to answer any.
The special department supplies and the electrical?
In the Civic Center O&M?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was miscoding. And actually, it's just been taken. It should have been in equipment maintenance, and that it was coded out of special department supplies instead. So now it's being coded correctly.
So you're saying special data supplies are?
Special department supplies. Equipment. That comes to items like, which is supposed to be toilet paper, paper products, cleaning supplies.
So this is our expense. This is not just.
No, it is our expense. But okay, what was happening was that the items, if you look at equipment maintenance, it was the items that were being charged to that account should have been charged to a different account number in this line item, equipment maintenance instead of special department supplies. So that's why it's showing a year-end projection of that much higher. If you look at it, though.
But even under the equipment, it still throws us over budget.
Well, that's a year-end projection. We could have purchased things closer up this year that in this past 7 months that we're not necessarily going to have to purchase for the rest of the month, or the rest of the year. So that's the year-end projection based on that we're going to keep spending the same amount every month. We don't always spend the same amount every month. Yeah.
Robin, we have, I see rent equipment is small. We never, wasn't there a time when we rented equipment? Now we, I guess we
Well, what that is for, that is to rent lifts.
Oh.
Because.
Okay. Light bulbs.
Yeah. We just had one here not too long ago, just hasn't hit here, where we had to change a lot of the light bulbs up in the Great Hall and so forth. So.
I would have expected that the electrical bill would have gone down since our hours have.
It probably may now because it's now we're going to have a time change and you'll start to see some things going down. But it's not necessarily the lights; it's more the air conditioning.
It's a LEED building, right?
It's uh-huh. supposed to be.
Yeah. I'm really shocked that we're that out of line. When was the last time we looked at, again, I've done this kind of thing before, where we've changed AC maintenance companies. And sometimes an investment in one brings down the cost in the actual month-to-month utility. When's the last time we, in other words, looked at maybe recontracting that out to somebody?
Well,
different.
We are looking at it this year. However, the electricity, the system supplies both buildings, and it's split on a 52-48%, with the library only paying 48%. The City Hall pays 52%. Mm. So in actuality, I actually think the library's getting a very good deal on the 48%, considering it's open longer than here. Now, the system runs very optimal. It actually is run by electronic software. And I am looking for a new maintenance company only because we've had one for 5 years, but I truly do believe there is nothing wrong with the system. It's just the usage. And if you recall, we've had a lot of hot months the last couple months that should have been colder. So
this was for unusual high AC use is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's not for the lights. The electrical is, I believe, the AC, because our AC bills have been higher for this time of year.
Okay. And then when we make next year's budget, we'll base it on?
Well, we'll look to see. Yeah, it'll be based on that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions, comments on the budget? That I know it's quite a novel. Thank you, Robin.
But I do want to point out, if you look at the year-end projections, our expenditures are under expected revenue of about $60,000. And we're currently at a deficit of 111. Well, that will probably make the deficit that we had carried over from the 2012-13. And hopefully we'll still see some increases in property taxes coming in. So maybe hopefully we might be able to be in the black for next year. It certainly has, we really didn't start to see the staff decrease because we had, some of the part-time staff decreased and not till September. So we still had 2 months there with the full staffing. But we started to see a decline right now. So we'll keep an eye on it. I know this is the most important thing for all of you in getting the library back open and so forth.
Okay. Robin,
yes.
Special department supplies, that is supposed to be under library as well as Civic Center?
Yes, because one is for the O&M and the other one is actually for the operation of the library. And under that special department supplies, that is they use that for the programming, for Jill, like the arts and crafts and things like that.
Popsicle sticks,
yeah.
Pipe cleaners,
mm-hmm.
Glue.
What? Summer reading program.
Summer reading program. Thank you. Yeah.
I had another question on the e-books line
Microphone.
Item. Pardon?
Microphone, please.
It is on.
No, but you're not close enough.
Test. Test. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
The e-book line item towards the end there, looks like we will be way under budget on that for the year?
No,
Am
because right
that?
Now it's not showing. We've only spent $5,000 to date. We're waiting for, we haven't been invoiced for these new programs that got implemented. We're looking at closer to $120,000.
So we will use that this year?
Oh, yes.
Okay,
and then
great.
And then whatever is left over from implementing it, they'll use toward the additional purchase of more e-books.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Robin, with the attitude changing on minimum wage, how much are our part-time employees are on about minimum wage or above?
We have no minimum wage employees. All of our employees make, well, I'll have to look at that because currently we're under a federal mandate, but most of our clerks are making close to the $9 an hour range, if not 11 to 12. So if and when that does move forward, we'll have to reassess, like when it changed a number of years ago. Even though we're in a California market, so that's what our wages are based on, not the federal, where years ago you used to see $5 and $6, and we were here at $8.50, so we had already increased to $8.50 a number of years ago. We always have because we hire on salary ranges, if the minimum wage increases to, $10 an hour, we can easily move our employees up to $10 an hour. It's just that we're going to have to then assess and budget for it.
It's not a major item anyway.
No, not really.
All right, then. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's move on to item 4, review and discussion of the library noticing and public outreach. As directed by the City Council.
Yes. The City Council had a budget workshop meeting a few weeks ago, last month, and one of the items on there was the outreach that we're doing to the community, not just the Library Commission, but every commission and every department, as far as Public Works, Community Development, Community Services, and is how we're reaching out to the public to make them aware of programs, hours, closures, and so forth. So together in front of you is what staff currently does for the library. And the question to come before the commission was, is there something else you think we should be trying to implement? And I have to bring back a report to the council. A report has to go to the council. So I'm not sure if you had a chance to read it. I think we have a very extensive outreach program here, and I'm not quite sure what else we could be doing, but we're welcome to suggestions.
So how much time? Yeah, I spent a lot of time compiling this information, right?
Yes, Barbara did. Yeah, yes, we did. Well, I mean, we have, again, we have our bulletin that's out the front when you walk in. We have our website. You read the staff report. I don't need to go through it. Agendas are also put on the, they're being put on that bulletin, agendas, and then they can also get them at the CERC desk. So the CERC desk or the reference? The reference desk. They're always there. So we meet all the legal requirements, and the rest is public outreach. Flyers, you know, we do big on flyers, you know, especially home with, you know, to the schools, to the, in the books. And then even what's nice, we can also now, if the library is going to be closed, like it's going to be closed on Monday for President's Day, when you check out a book, they can print on the receipt, due to our new system, library will be closed on this date, you know.
17th.
So there's, you know, there's quite a few avenues that we're reaching out to.
I can't imagine you're doing more than you're doing, especially since if you add in the website, I mean, the amount of information is just incredible.
Thank you.
Got a great staff.
Yeah. It seems it's very thorough, you know, the way that you're handling it right now. I don't see any loopholes.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. I think Robin should go door to door.
Yeah.
Well, that's on, you know. Sign. Well, the other thought had come up that Mari and I, during election time, were going to stand on a street corner with those big
flip
signs.
Sign.
Oh,
say,
good idea.
Sign
center.
Vote, vote. Yeah, and I was going to be Uncle Sam, and she was going to be the Statue of Liberty.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
so.
You know, sometimes I think you guys don't get enough credit for all the things you do. Really
Thank
unbelievable.
You. Thank I you. Mean, but they do a phenomenal job over at the library.
We sometimes take you for granted because you're doing such a good job. There aren't any missing parts.
Well, thank you, and again, I have to give it to the library. You know, the library staff does a great job of outreach, and yeah, we try. So, thank you.
And succeed.
Thank you. We appreciate hearing that.
Thank you.
So I'm assuming you're happy with what's being done.
Extremely.
I am.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think you
and
can add too much
more. We look forward to your sign flipping.
I'd be good at it, too.
Just let us know what corner.
Okay.
Yes. All right, we're up to item number 5, the discussion regarding 2014 meeting dates. Robin did supply us with a lovely color-coded calendar.
Thank you. Well, I brought this back here because of, you know, we seem to have some problems with our meeting dates, and even though we're only meeting quarterly, it seems like a lot of our meetings we don't meet because of holidays, whether it be Christmas at the end of December, and then of course we can't meet in January because of Martin Luther King, and then we couldn't meet in February. And I really think, since I'm trying to keep you informed of the budget, there are some things that we maybe need to meet more than just quarterly, so I make sure that you're, you know, I have your input on the budget. So we put this calendar together, whether you wanted to consider meeting on another Monday that we could leave wide open for, you know, the commission. You could also consider meeting earlier in the day if you wanted to. I know Mita had asked me, would the commission be interested in meeting earlier in the day and not in the evening? They were talking like maybe 4 o'clock. So these were all things that I thought, you know, since we're going to do this and we talked about it at the last meeting, I might as well bring all options to you and to see what you wanted to do.
I'm very flexible and meeting early or almost any day.
I mean, yeah, but I think we have at least two commissioners who are working.
Yeah.
So 4 o'clock
wouldn't work then.
Yeah. I would suggest the first Monday of those particular months. It looks like they're open clean.
Right, they're open every month. And then also, if we needed to meet in December, it's early enough in the holidays, so it's not, hopefully
right.
It won't impact. And then again, during the January and February, I mean, there are some times we don't need to meet, but this is a time period as I get closer to working on the budget, I may need to present, you know, for you the budget for you to look at, you know, review and any other items. And so this way we kind of have a Monday open that's just dedicated to us, or dedicated to the commission, excuse me, without any conflicting holidays or anybody else on that day.
First Monday is fine for me, too.
Okay, do you want to keep it at 6:30? I remember when we first used to meet, it was 6 o'clock, and then we changed it for one of the commissioners. I just wanted to ask. Okay, we can still meet at 6:30. Okay.
So we're looking at February, May, August, and November.
And that was the other thing, is when did you, yeah, that was the next thing, was what month? So we're going to look at maybe January.
Well, right now we're in February.
Yeah, but we'll count this as January. But moving forward, it would be January, April, because in April you reorg. You do your reorganization. April.
So is that April 7th then?
Yeah.
Is that what we're calling?
Yes, we would meet April 7th. And then July 7th. And then October 6th.
Six.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the July one, that'll be difficult.
Because of July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You but know, you can skip a meeting if we have nothing going on.
Yeah.
I mean, generally
the
summer months,
the 14th,
by then we're all pretty much done with the budget. By then we're pretty much done with the budget, and
But as I recall, the last 2 years, we've met twice during the
summer
between meetings.
Okay. Well, but we could always do the second Monday
right.
in July or August.
I would not want to lose a meeting. So maybe we could do it July 14th?
Yeah, July 14th.
Bastille Day.
Oh, well, I'm sure everyone has plans.
I'd rather do it on Bastille Day.
Can you get away?
Oh, nuts, Bastille Day.
Well, we've got to wear red, white, and blue, and
see, the thing that I'm trying to do here, and I understand if one can, we have to have a set meeting date. The fact that, that's why what we're trying here to do,
right.
instead of, we only meet quarterly, and so now you can't meet this, so we're going to move it to this date. And the purpose there,
well,
like everyone, is to have a set meeting date. None
right.
of the other commissions do that.
So we could keep
that.
July 7th unless it becomes an issue. Then.
Sure, July 7th.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be the first month.
And that's not Bastille Day. That's Daniel Steele Day.
Oh.
Danielle Steele.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So then we'll do the first Monday.
Willie Sutton Steele Day.
Right? Okay. All set?
At least we're not preempted by holidays now. Yes, most of them, we're not. Okay, so then the next meeting date we have will be April 7th.
All right then.
Okay.
Let's move on to the Administrative Services Director's Report at 7:40. Oh, we're ahead of schedule.
7:25, yeah. I have nothing to report at this time. I've pretty much reported on anything, everything.
Very good.
Thank you.
Then how about the city librarian's report, Ms. Carolyn?
Okay. Well, we don't have a lot today, but there are a couple of events that are coming up in March that I wanted to make sure you guys are aware of. This is the second year we've done a movie night in conjunction with the American Chess Academy here in Calabasas. And it's a group that teaches elementary school kids how to play chess. And a couple of the fathers that run the group are library patrons, and they came to me last year. So this year we're doing it again, and it's been popular. It's going to be on Tuesday, March 4th at 6 p.m. We're showing Brooklyn Castle, which is the documentary about a school that had a chess club a few years ago. I think it got some press a few years ago. It's free admission. We'll be selling concessions, and part of its fundraiser for the Chess Academy and the Teen Library Council. They split it, and it is sponsored by the Friends of the Calabasas Library. I also wanted to have Ashley speak about our 6th annual fun fair.
Yay, Ashley. So our fun fair will be happening on Saturday, March 15th from 12 to 4. And this year our theme is going to be Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. The second movie recently came out, so it's going to be kind of it's always been the carnival type of event with different booths run by different school clubs, and we're going to have the Teen Library Council running a lot of the booths, and then we're also going to have some clubs from Calabasas and Agora coming in and doing those one or two booths on their own. It's open to elementary school kids. And later in the month, we're going to be sending out flyers to the elementary schools in the district to publicize for the event. And then after the fun fair, we're going to be showing Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, a family movie, and that's going to be happening after the fun fair. Yeah.
Sounds like fun. Anything else, Carolyn? All right. At this time, I'm taking requests for future agenda items. From the left side.
I don't have anything.
Nothing. From the right side. Ellen, good girl.
During the mayor's State of the City, he was talking about the possibility of the Santa Monica Mountains Research Institute. And to that end, he's going to be calling a meeting, and Director Barbara Lockwood expressed an interest in being there, as did Dennis Washburn, a founding father of the city and past council member. I had spoken to Fred about it after the meeting, and so the four of us will be meeting to see what his vision is and how we can facilitate getting it off the ground. So obviously the Library Commission has to play a big part in it, since the Research Institute, if it comes into being, will be housed at the library. So
Do you have a date when this is happening yet?
No.
Where is their area where they keep their resources now? Some other place?
It's a secret.
Scattered.
We don't know. That's part of the whole thing.
So we don't know how big it is? And
exactly.
No,
exactly.
Dear.
It may be something where we have to involve other agencies. It may be collaborative with other commissions, like the Environmental Commission or the Historic Preservation Commission. We may have to get the Santa Monica Conservancy Trust involved. We may to get Mary Weiss-Broad and her different
Andrew.
Tree groups involved, and but we didn't get to that yet. Historical Society, et cetera. So,
all right. Well, we'll wait with. No, we won't.
Yeah.
I mean, we look forward to hearing from you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. That being said, may I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. 30.
What's better than...